Today, as many of us enter more months of working from home, we look at how companies are keeping an uncomfortably close eye on just what we're up to. Alex, you've been at work for a couple of hours now. If you were to look back through your web use, what would we find?
My web use, gosh. I like to, I guess, preemptively defend it by saying I operate in a sort of eternal procrastination where all work is done while procrastinating from other work. So you'd probably find an awful lot of time in my email client. You'd find an awful lot of time on Twitter. You'd find a lot of jumping between various documents on my computer and PDFs downloaded from the net. Thankfully, I can at least say you'd also find a lot of time in a word processor with me actually writing stories. How about you, though? What would we find for you?
Well, do you know what? I was about to say that all you would find is that I've been working really hard this morning, but I have just looked through my own screen time and there's about literally 30 apps that I've already used today, among which I've got BBC Sport, I've got my camera, I've got my bank, I've got a little bit of online shopping in there.
There we go.
I've got quite a long time on Joe Wicks, the body coach.
I mean, that's a good thing. Congratulations.
A bit of YouTube, a bit of Netflix, but that was a child. So I think that's okay, isn't it? But I wouldn't want anyone to think that that didn't mean I've been working very, very hard.
No, exactly. Like the if I think we all agree that these metrics can't really tell the whole story of what a working day is like.
As COVID-19 cases spike upwards, tighter restrictions mean that everyone who can work from home is being told to do so. According to The Guardian's UK technology editor Alex Hearn, your bedroom office might not be as private as you think. From The Guardian, I'm Anushka Astana. Today in Focus, is your boss spying on you as you work from home? Alex, we've both been working from home for 9 months now, and it is obviously very, very different with some big positives. I certainly see more of my children, but I definitely don't think it feels like I'm working less overall. In fact, if anything, I think I'm at my desk for longer hours, maybe because it's harder to communicate, it's harder with the tech. Overall, I don't think it's easier. Is that just me?
No, I think, well, I can certainly say from personal experience, my last 9 months have been very similar to yours. I've found it harder to leave work because without that physical threshold to cross, I can always dart back in to do one more thing, to send one more email, to make one more update to a story. I also find that sort of I'm working longer and harder, but not necessarily more effectively. Tasks get stretched out a lot more because rather than having colleagues to turn to break a deadlock or to crack some new angle to a story, I'm isolated and so often end up in my own head. The belief that if you can do all your work from a computer, you can do all your work from a computer and not much needs to change is, I think, starting to fray 9 months down the line as people are realizing that actually seeing other humans in the working day, for example, is sort of important for work, even if you can't point to anything in particular that those other humans would be doing.
From an employer's perspective, I guess there is a strain as well, because it is so much harder to know what everyone in your company is doing when they're not in the office, or whether they're actually working at all. How have companies tended to react to that?
So there's been a huge variation, right? You know, some companies, some good employers, some managers who trust their teams have been able to make the switch without much of a change, without much strain. And then there are some managers who just don't trust their employees in that same way. So what we've been seeing is, to a greater or lesser extent, surveillance. I've heard a huge amount of stories from employees who have these sort of complaints. At one end, you have employees who complain about simple overbearing bosses, people who do the online equivalent of tapping their watch and going, "See, you logged into Slack at 9:05 today. Remember that the working day starts at 9, please."
But isn't that just the equivalent of a boss looking out across the office and checking if someone's sitting at their desk.
Exactly. It's not necessarily malicious. It's not necessarily even creepy. It can just be a replacement for that interpersonal, physical going and chatting to someone or seeing whether they're at their desk or bumping into them in the corridor. But that goes through to more structured workplace monitoring. Employees have described being required to install specialist software that does things like takes a screenshot every 10, 15 or 30 minutes and sends it to their boss, that monitors which window is at the foreground of their computer so that they can be told off if they spend too much time on social media at the working day. One example is they can count the number of times you hit the keys on your keyboard, the number of times in a minute you move your mouse, the number of lines you add to your coding document, and sometimes visibly assign a productivity score at the end, but often don't, and just leave you unsure whether you are doing enough work for your employer to be happy with you. At the most extreme end, you have people who work all day with screen sharing software enabled that lets their manager quite literally just log on and see what is on their screen. And if they wanted to, take control of the mouse and keyboard, but do the equivalent of walking around the virtual office, staring over people's shoulders. All of these things create an atmosphere of surveillance.
I mean, I can't even believe that. Are people actually doing that? Companies are actually requiring that of people?
Absolutely. Employee monitoring software isn't new in lockdown. It's something that's existed for a very long time, including, it has to be said, in the office. This isn't a remote working thing. If you have one manager who is in charge of a pool of 100 people, quite often that manager can't be monitoring all of their employees physically anyway. The office is too huge. And so even their work computers get this monitoring software. What's changed is that now people are being required to install it on their own personal computers while working in their living rooms, in their bedrooms, in their kitchens, in order to prove to their employers that they are working while at work.
This is Orwellian. What type of programs are we talking about?
The programs have names like Hubstaff is one popular one.
If you've got team members who are on the move, you can see where they currently are in the location section.
TerraMind is another.
Are your employees spending an inordinate amount of time in IMs chatting with friends and family, killing time on social media outlets, or even binging through episodes on Netflix? TerraMind can fill you in.
TerraMind?
That sounds more dystopian than it looks when it's written down. It's T-E-R-A mind, not T-E-R-R-O-R mind. The latter really would be bold branding, I think, for anyone.
Here comes the StaffCop, the modern software solution which provides...
StaffCop, though, is exactly as dystopian as it sounds.
StaffCop shows exactly what has been searched by your employee, and this allows you to detect whether they are searching for work-related information or using working hours to search for information of a personal nature.
They dress themselves up in the language of analytics, of data. They don't say, you know, we let you spy on your employees. They say, we unlock personalized insights about productivity across the organization.
I mean, the names make it very obvious what they're trying to do. And obviously, this is kind of analytics, but are there any programs that actually use video to see what you're doing?
Broadly, that still seems to be beyond the pale for a service to be sold to individuals. That's not to say, however, that it doesn't happen. I've heard a lot of anecdotes from employees around the world who've said that their managers there who are so paranoid that they might be freeloading while at home that they won't even accept the testimony of this analytics software. Instead, what they do is they simply say, when you arrive at work, please log into a video chat service. You know, I want you on camera, sometimes even on camera and like wearing a suit and tie 9 to 5, so I can see that you're working. Mics have to be on, cameras have to be on, and I just want to see that. That is surprisingly, I would say alarmingly common.
And just to be clear, the monitoring software you're talking about just gives employers access to the information. The employee isn't being asked to actively send information like screenshots, for example, over.
Absolutely. Once these things are installed, they are all passive. It is spyware. You know, there's no getting around this. If this were done on a consumer level without you knowing you'd installed it, it would be a massive, almost certainly illegal breach of privacy. But the thing is, the relationship between an employer and an employee is very different. Broadly, and obviously there are many, many restrictions, but an employer can require this sort of software be installed as a part of an employment contract. And if they do, the employee doesn't have a huge amount of ability to push back against that requirement.
And when you say it's legal because of the relationship between an employer and an employee, does that mean that legally they have to tell you what they're doing?
It does. But, you know, as we've learned across technology, what it means for someone to tell you what they're doing is a contested question. Broadly, if you have sort of acknowledged in your employment contract that this monitoring software may be installed on your computer or may be used on the network you're on, that will cover the business legally. I'm sure, Anushka, you and I have read our employment contracts cover to cover and have a firm understanding of what's in them in the most minute detail. But you'd be surprised to learn that many people don't actually read documents that they sign. So the fact that legally your employer has warned you or perhaps even gained your consent for this sort of monitoring doesn't necessarily mean that you might actually know for certain that it's happening.
StaffCop can work in stealth mode. The system is hidden from the PC user, and it makes it impossible for the employee to realize that they are being monitored. StaffCop Standard is suitable for both large and small businesses. The system is very flexible and can be used on just one PC or thousands of PCs.
So this monitoring software is legal and getting ever more powerful. But what are employers actually getting with all this data? Do they really need this granular info to know whether someone's slacking off or not?
I think, and I've been hard on employers and managers so far, it's worth acknowledging that not everyone is working hard when working from home. There really is a phenomenon. It's been dubbed cyberloafing, right? Where people working from home make the most of the fact that they aren't being monitored. But that doesn't mean that that everyone being monitored with this is a slacker. And it also doesn't mean that everyone who looks like they're slacking on these metrics is actually slacking. It's worth saying as well, beyond all of that, there are some companies where the monitoring is for other reasons. It's for regulatory compliance. Financial traders is a really good example of this. If you're working from the office trading certain regulated financial products, then all of your calls need to be recorded for regulatory compliance. That posed a huge problem at the beginning of lockdown because people needed to work from home. And the short-term outcome from that was their home phone was tapped by their employer and their home was declared legally an adjunct of the office. That is pretty Orwellian, right? A tap on all calls going in or out. But certainly in the panic response, there wasn't an obvious way of getting around that. You really do need to make sure that you are recording phone calls that your employees are having with customers at other banks, for instance. And if they're working from home, that means you need to record their home phone.
I mean, outside where it's required for regulatory reasons, how do employers justify using this software?
So when they do have to defend it, they'll often say things like some of it is about encouraging collaboration. So the camera example is a really good one. Every manager I've heard who's demanded it from their employees has said, it's so that we don't have to waste time calling a meeting when we want to share ideas. Or it's so that I know when you need my help straight away, you can just ask me. And, you know, perhaps some even believe that, actually. It's still surveillance. If your manager is requiring a camera in your bedroom from 9 to 5 every working day, that's unreasonable. And until March, we'd all have agreed that was unreasonable. You get sometimes the defense that kind of, we can find the high rollers, we can find the people who are doing really well. But that's just flipping the surveillance on its head. It's still the same surveillance. In practice, employers just tend not to justify using this software. They tend to try and keep it quiet. Often I've heard from places, and this goes back to before the pandemic, where the first time they really understood that they were being monitored was when someone was fired for what they did on a workplace computer or in work time.
And the very premise of it, which I know we have to be reasonable about, obviously there are people who will slack off if no one is watching what they are doing. But my own experience of working from home is people have worked incredibly hard. I mean, I know you mentioned cyberloafing, but is there any real evidence that productivity has fallen with people moving to home?
There is scattered evidence that productivity has fallen with people working from home. What there's not is any evidence that this is fundamentally due to a lack of effort. You know, it's very obvious, for instance, that productivity will fall if you were working in a tight group with four other people who you sat near and you could have quick 3-second conversations, and then you move to somewhere where your employer hadn't invested in remote working tools. Everything had to be a pre-arranged group conference call, and suddenly you were isolated from the source of the inspiration that you relied on. That's going to drop productivity, but monitoring isn't the solution. And then, you know, we're living in the most high-stress environment that many of us have ever lived through. It would be stunning if productivity hadn't fallen given that.
Coming up, the backlash. We called it Orwellian, but in 1984, people started fighting back against the system. Is there a resistance?
Yeah, there is, thankfully. The most obvious example of it came when Microsoft announced an update to a feature that it called Productivity Score. This feature is, and I want to give Microsoft some defense here, this feature is talking about the productivity of an organization. And when it was first implemented, it was very much aimed at IT managers. The productivity score took into account things like connection speed, the number of employees who were using desktop versions of an app versus the web version of an app.
And across each, we show you where you are today, the trend over the last 6 months, and how you compare to peers in your industry. Pretty powerful stuff.
And yes, it also took into account things like how many of them were using Microsoft Teams to communicate versus phone calls or, I don't know, snail mail. The criticism came because you could, as a manager, check a box to see that information broken down on an employee by employee level. Microsoft, in other words, was making the sort of tool available that an overbearing manager could use to call you aside and go, "Hi, I've seen you haven't been collaborating on Teams as much as your colleagues. We need you to stand up and, you know, be more of a team player." That possibility for use, while Microsoft insists wasn't what they intended when they built the feature, sparked a huge backlash. And actually, Microsoft ended up rolling back those changes, removing the ability for managers to see this productivity score on an individual level.
But what you're talking about is no more controversial than all the other programs you mentioned. So what are all the other companies doing?
Well, the other companies are not Microsoft. You know, if you only sell productivity monitoring software, then the idea of a backlash is sort of moot to you. There's no image to harm. What Microsoft has is a wide variety of businesses, and it doesn't want to be the villain in one sector because that might cross over and poison its relationship in others.
But okay, that makes sense. But the software is being used by companies, I imagine, that we've all heard of and that are quite big players. Is there any serious organized opposition to the use of this type of software?
Yeah, there is. So some trade unions are really starting to speak out on it. Prospect, the Communication Workers Union, has been pushing quite heavily on this. It represents the management level staff at organisations like BT. The Labour Party too is speaking not at full volume on it, but it has acknowledged that it's an issue. The thing is, to put serious opposition to it, you actually would need to see quite a substantial change in law. You know, this is an area where you would need to see quite fundamental new rights for employees, because it's about your rights to privacy in the workplace. It's not just about surveillance. It's also how much your employer can monitor you even when you're at work. It's about whether or not your employer has the right to read your emails that you're sending between colleagues. It's about whether or not you have the right to a social media account that can speak freely about what you're doing at work. These are all part and parcel of the same question, which is basically, do you have the right to a life that your employer can't look at?
I mean, given that it exists and it's happening so often, are there other ways that people can fight back?
Well, you have the equivalent of throwing a spanner in the works. You have, it's not quite workplace sabotage, but there are various technological ways to disable or confuse these monitoring tools.
Oh, I really want to hear about these spanners. Go on then.
Or you could just do really simple things, right? You know, some of these monitoring tools, for instance, track periods of activity, where activity is defined as mouse movements and keystrokes. We can all be like Homer Simpson and get a little drinking bird figurine that hammers the control key every 2 seconds and then go and take a long lunch break. You've got to be pretty certain that the monitoring software monitors only what you think it does if you pull that sort of thing.
Yeah, no cameras, hopefully.
Exactly. But like, you know, it's a joke, but it's also not a joke. These monitoring services are inherently blunt. They cannot measure deep quality work. And so they always end up measuring weird side effects, measuring the number of keystrokes you do, measuring how long you have the web browser at the front of the screen versus a Word document. And all of those things are foolable. The best one is just if you have something that takes a screenshot every half hour and it does that on the hour, then you've got 25 minutes of free slacking off, provided you set an alarm at 5:02 and 25 past to just remember to reopen your work.
I heard about someone placing a banana on their mouse pad. It could be as simple as that.
Amazing.
So listen, the big question next is, why are we worried about this? What effect is this having on workers?
I think the most important short-term one is psychological. There's both the narrow effect of this, right, which is that knowing you are being monitored is unpleasant and psychologically harmful. It makes the working day more stressful and it makes you more likely to hit burnout sooner. And we've already seen in the last 9 months of the pandemic that burnout is a huge problem. People increasingly finding that they simply cannot work at the rate or to the quality that they were at the beginning of the pandemic. I think secondarily, there's also the fact that we're learning that there is an amount of slacking off between 0 and 100% that is actually the best amount for quality work. If you demand that a coder, say, spends 100% of their working day in a coding environment, you're going to get worse work than someone who has the freedom to acknowledge when their mind's not in the right place and go for a walk, go and make a cup of coffee, just leave the desk. That latter thing, hopefully, is something that more and more employers are coming to understand and building this sort of time in. But looking at the surveillance software market, it's certainly, you know, it's not as big as it could be, and it's going to grow rather than shrink.
Even if we're going back to the office later this year?
I think it is here to stay, sadly. For everything that they might not need to do when you're in the office, there is an in-office equivalent. We actually saw before the pandemic even began, for instance, a rise in a sort of technology that allows employers to see whether or not individual desks are being used. That, back in 2019, was sold as a way of enabling hot desking. By telling who's sat where, you can tell how many desks are empty on any given day, and perhaps you can, you know, stop leasing one floor of your building, save some money that way, and move to a hot desking system. That sort of approach is now being rebadged and resold in a post-pandemic world as a way of maintaining social distancing in an office. If you monitor where all of your employees are once they're in the office, you can tell how many of them are within 2 meters of each other and how many of them are taking unnecessary risks. But as we've seen, this sort of data collection inevitably presents a temptation to managers who might want to also see how many people are having productive communications in the corridor. How many people are spending just a bit too much time at the tea point? How many people might be arriving at 9 a.m. but then popping back out for a coffee from Pret at 9:45? Once you start tracking people, you open the door to that sort of misuse, unless you have really strong protections, which in the office, we don't.
And it's coming after a year in which so many people were made redundant. I mean, record numbers, and others probably feel like they're clinging onto their jobs. In this environment, do Do you think it's going to be particularly difficult for people to push back on their employers, even if they get back to the office and it feels scary, the level that they're being spied on?
Certainly. I mean, one of the more popular uses of some workplace monitoring software has been to explicitly track unionizing activity. Amazon has been dinged for this in the past, for keeping an eye on internal company message boards. There are several companies that have advertised that they sell the ability to track worker communications with explicit examples of the sort of words that you might want an alert to come up, words like unionize or workplace rights. That sort of monitoring will go hand in hand with the more prosaic monitoring of just checking whether or not you are at your desk or in the office at the right time.
Where's all this heading? How far can it go?
If we want to get one level further into the dystopia, the ultimate thing you can start doing if you track every single aspect of an employee's working day is you can start training something else to replace them, something that doesn't even necessarily have to be human. The way machine learning works, for instance, is you give an AI a lot of examples of a task being performed, and you ask it to learn how to perform that task itself. Previously, that's been comparatively simple tasks, things like labeling images or captioning software. But more and more companies are setting out to do quite complex knowledge work, things like writing up a legal document or perhaps worryingly for, well, exactly one person on this call, writing news stories about technology. By looking at examples of thousands of them, monitoring the way people work while they do this work, and then spitting out an AI that can do it itself. The end goal for a lot of places that monitor their employees is to not have any employees to monitor. Computers are a lot easier to control and they don't take the piss with lunch breaks.
Alex Hearn, thank you very much.
Thank you for having me.
That was Alex Hearn, The Guardian's UK technology editor, who has written all about this. Do look him up at theguardian.com. Alex has done loads of great Today in Focus episodes that I do recommend, from TikTok to Facebook to Google to facial recognition. If you haven't heard him before, then do go back and have a listen. This episode was produced by Elizabeth Cassin. Sound design was by Axel Cocoutier. The executive producers are Phil Maynard and Nicole Jackson. Thank you for listening. See you tomorrow.